All right.
We're going to have to inform this.
We're partially right.
Well, you know, so I've been looking at this stuff. They had a experience, I think it was helpful, where so long as the board didn't create the review committee, because it's nothing but the review violation by the committee not reviewing the application, and it wasn't required to disclose the documentation as support material.
Okay.
Well, that's what I want
to
see.
There you go.
Okay, how it's going.
Good morning, everyone. Story County Board of County Commissioners meeting will now come to order. If anyone has any cell phones or any other audible devices, if you'll silence them now, it's not to disrupt the meeting. We'd appreciate it. If you'd stand and join me with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic of which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Next up is item three. This is discussion and possible action. Approval of the agenda for this date, February the 19th, 2019. Mr. Witten, do we have any changes to make to today's agenda?
No, sir. Mr. Chairman.
All right. Is there any public comment regarding today's agenda? Hearing none, if I get a motion to approve.
I'll move to approve the agenda for February 19th, 2019.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Moved to second to approve today's agenda. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number four. This is today's consent agenda. Is there any public comment regarding today's consent agenda? Hearing none, if I get a motion to approve.
I'll move to approve the consent agenda today.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Moved to second to approve today's consent agenda. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number five. This is discussion only. We'll take no action or public comment. These are committee and staff reports. We'll start with the right side of the room with Sheriff Antonoro.
Nothing at this time, thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Jerry. Our operations and project manager, Mike Northan.
Good morning, Commissioners. Mike Northan reporting for Public Works. Most of the projects I had updated you guys on last time, still about the same status. We've had a number of meetings had to be rescheduled just due to weather, people unable to make it up the hill, etc. As far as the crews go, they are working today to widen the roads. We've got them cleared, but they need to widen them out a little bit. You'll notice that they're going to be hauling snow out just to make room for snow storage for the anticipated snowfalls tomorrow and into Thursday. They'll be working on that, of course. Other than that, it was just some minor flooding in, of course, the usual areas. They're monitoring these things, no threat to structures or anything at this time. They're watching the new bridge down on Canyon Way, keeping an eye on all that kind of stuff and taking some preemptive actions around some of the drainages with some berms and that kind of thing. So they're watching that carefully. That's all I have for you.
Any questions for Mike? No. Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, sir.
All right. Over to our Community Relations Department. Have today, Sherry. Thank you. The director of our Storey County Senior Citizen Center, Stacey Gilbert.
Stacey Gilbert, for the record. We right now have radon kits available for free at both senior centers, the one in Virginia City as well as the one in Lockwood. We also have guided focus groups for senior services that are scheduled. Our first one is Thursday, February 21st at 5. That's in Lockwood. Our second one is in the Highlands, March 12th at 7. Our third one is in Mark Twain, March 21st at 5. And our last one will be in Virginia City at April 4th at 5 o'clock as well. They're open to the public, and they're all on the county website as well as our Facebook page. So,
perfect.
Any questions?
Thank you, Stacey. That's really great. Thank you, Stacey.
Thank you.
I'm over at Community Development, Gary Haynes.
Thank you,
Gary. Over to the fire department, Chief Nevin.
Nothing this time, Chairman. Don't forget Eric Sean.
With the community chest and library, Eric Sean.
Thank you, Eric Schoen, for the record of Community Chest. Just a few updates for you. First of all, a big thank you to the fire department for answering our staff's call of distress. We had water coming through underneath the door, and they came out and helped sandbag, and it's now watertight. So thank you to Jeff's crew for coming out. They were fearless in the face of danger and helped us set up a sandbag, so we really appreciate that. Also, a reminder that our library space is open 4 days a week from 10 to 4. It's a beautiful space. When I say 10 to 4, that means it's open to the public to check out books, use our technology center. We also are encouraging groups to use it as well. And if there's a group that would like to use it in the evening, we can make arrangements for that to happen. We have keys for people to access that space. So if people are looking for a meeting space, please either reach out to myself or to Michael Ann, our deputy director. We have been working on two opioid planning grants, strategic plans. One is our opioid spike plan, which is completed. That's been in concert with our partners, the fire department, the sheriff's office, the senior center, community relations, as well as a longer-term strategic plan, which we're using as an opportunity to really develop the sort of identify the core health and human service infrastructure needs that we need to support. And I can present that at a future date, future commissioner meeting, if you'd be interested in hearing that. And last but not least, a couple of celebrations. One, our Roseanne Cash show is almost sold out. If people have been waiting to buy tickets, we only have 24 left. So, act quickly if you would like to come to the show. And then secondly, we were fortunate enough to be chosen by Blockchains to be the recipient charity, if you will, of their first Block Shots promo at the Men's Wolf Pack basketball games, which means for every Block Shot that the Men's Wolf Pack team does, we receive $50 in return. On March 9th, they will be presenting an end-of-season check for the total amount of all of those Block Shots times $50, which we anticipate will be in the neighborhood of $8,000 to $9,000. It's been kind of fun if you guys go to those games, because during intermission, they'll say, and the recipient of the Blockchains Block Shot promo is Community Chest of Story in Lyon County. So it's been fun to hear our name up there, and it's been a fun promo to be a part of. So that's all I have, unless there's any questions or comments.
Any questions? Great. Thank you, Aaron.
Okay.
Thank you. Over at the Comptroller's Office, Mr. Gallagher.
Indeed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Hugh Gallagher, State County Comptroller. The University of Nevada didn't have those promotions when I was playing for them back in the day because we were too short. The legislature is in its infantile stages. And, of course, we've got a new party in charge. So basically, a lot of the stuff that we have looked at through all of the bill drafts have been trying to repeal what the Republican Party has done for the last 8 years. But there are some interesting ones. I'm just going to go over these briefly just to give you a little bit of update. And as talking to Pat, I think we're going to put this on an agenda item going forward. So each and every meeting we'll have a little bit of an update. There are some bills on ethics. We deserve anything to have about ethics, but they want to clean up some things in that department. Qualification of candidates is another one. I think the big thing is you have to have a declared party before you run for election. Water conservation is big. And it's very important to us because we have our water resources, Marlette Lake. And there's some people that would like to have some of that water going down the road. So there's a lot of bill drafts about water conservation and a water resource plan. I think Mr. Osborne has to get some sort of a plan together as far as what our real water resource is to give to these people. Workman's comp is something that has come up for state employees, state and county employees. as far as what benefits they can derive. It's going to be very, it's anticipated to be very more liberal than it has been. Prevailing wage, again, it's any capital projects that the county may have. We used to have a $250,000 limit. Now it's going to probably go back to $100,000. And another one that just hit the airways is homeless use. If we have homeless use or those people in trouble, the county has to have the responsibility to take care of them. There was a bill on elections, same day registration that has come up before the, so on voting days, it's a possibility that people get registered to vote. I'm not sure if that's going to pass, but at least that's out there. Pre-existing conditions on state of Nevada county employees, something that has been talked about for quite some time, as well as out-of-network providers. So the insurance company is now getting into effect of this. Revised agendas has just, that came up yesterday, as far as we have to publish the revised agenda. It's got to be on the website and whatever. So things of this nature, I don't think we've ever had a problem with it, but that's come up. Decriminalization, if something has been determined to be decriminalized, then those people who have been arrested or doing time for those acts will automatically be released. And then the last one is, not the next to the last one, but is bonding of contractors that are involved in information technology. And I think that's probably not a bad one. We don't, since they're in our systems, we're going through that now. They probably should be bonded. And one that the sheriff brought up, which is my last one, is AB 145, which is a requirement that an officer needs to be in every place where there's a school. In this case, it would be the middle school, the elementary school, or the high school, the Lockwood Elementary School. The fiscal impact on Story County, if it was to come to us, would be anywhere from $500,000 to $750,000, I think. So that's what we're all looking at. As we go down the road, I'll give you, Commission, a little more input as to what's happening, and hopefully this session will not be completely upside down. Thank you.
Any questions for you? Please. Thank you, Mr. Gallagher. Chief Deputy District Attorney, Mr. Loomis.
Keith Loomis, District Attorney's Office. I wanted to review a couple of things with you regarding the open meeting law. The first one involved Tanya Brown, who made the comments under a public comment portion of an agenda. And during the course of that, those comments, she asked to introduce approximately 50 pages of material. When the minutes were prepared, those materials were not referenced in the minutes. She then filed an open meeting law complaint with the Attorney General's office and filed a complaint in district court with the First Judicial District Court here in Story County. The Attorney General found that there was no violation of the open meeting law based upon the fact that the statutes only allow members of the board to introduce extraneous materials and not members of the public. That decision by the Attorney General was not binding on the district court, but the district court also found that there was no violation, and so that complaint has been dismissed. The second complaint that was filed was by Mr. Toll, Sam Toll, regarding the fact that there was a PowerPoint presentation made on the wall here in the courtroom during the course of a commission meeting, and he had requested that he be provided the information in advance of the presentation. The Attorney General again found that there was no violation of the open meeting law because of the fact that if a request for information is made, the information has to be provided to the person making the request at the same time that it's provided to the board. And in this case, the presentation was made to the board at the same time that Mr. Toll was able to review it. So again, there was no violation of the open meeting law.
Great. Thank you, Keith. All right, next up is our county manager, Pat Whitman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to today, and I'm going to follow Q's suggestion and try to get this on future agendas, but I want to give you an update of where we are in the process of finding a replacement county manager. Before I do that, I just real quickly want to remind everybody that we will not be meeting on March 5th because Commissioner Gilman, Commissioner McBride, and myself will be back attending the NACO, National NACO Legislative Session. So, on the process, it's been a very busy 2 weeks since our last meeting. We now have both of our interview panels are, I contacted and talked to each of them, and they are fully aware and have accepted and actually been honored to be considered. So the participants we have right now will be Corby Hansen, Mike Nevin, Laura Kakuli, Pam Becker, Bob Macario, Tom Terramina, Randy Pitts, Mary Lou Walling, and Scott Joe Pover. So that'll be the citizen panel. And then I announced there's actually been no changes, but just so we got a consistent documented statement, the internal, if you will, comprise of Clerk Treasurer Vanessa Stevens, myself, Community Development Director Gary Haynes, Comptroller Hugh Gallagher, District Attorney Ann Langer, Fire Chief Jeff Nevin, Public Works Director Jason Worsbicki, in my office, Management Analyst 3, Jesse Fain, Sheriff Anson Norum, and also our Tourism Director, Denny Dotson. So those are the panels. The interviews will be done all on the same day, so everybody's kind of fresh in everybody's mind. They're scheduled for a week from today, February 26th. We'll be running them kind of concurrently. The citizen panel will most likely be subject to availability of the building, which I think we've already nailed down. The citizen interviews will be happening at Piper's, while the other interviews will be happening either in this courtroom or this way. We're working that out. Other updates, we have a total of 18 applications, and it's just a logistical issue. I think that at some point in time, you've got to stop taking applications for a while. I mean, Linda and I kind of envisioned the challenge of we can be in all these interview panels on Tuesday the 26th and on Wednesday, if you know, in comes another app. So Linda removed our position announcement posting from governmentjobs.com. There were total views on that website of 243. We also removed posting on our own website, Story County website. That posting was visited 239 times, and 205 of those were unique. They weren't repeats. So I think that's a pretty cool stat. Okay, I mentioned the 18 applicants. Linda went through in detail, and I confirmed and we discussed a couple. Of the 18 applicants, we deemed that 9 had sufficient qualifications to continue on. With each of, well, with 8 of the 9, 1 did not call us back or return an email, so that was an automatic DQ. But of the 8, then I'm making sure I got my numbers right here, Linda and I held conversations with all 8, mostly just to make sure they understood a couple of key points. One is the requirement that the county manager would have to reside within Story County. We were asked a couple of times, you know, how long in tolerance, and, you know, we talked, you know, anywhere from 90 to 180 days, that would be subject to what the board would, you know, determine, not us. That I currently don't work under contract, and they should assume, subject to board action, that there may not be a contract of employment, and that should they be chosen to be interviewed, should they be chosen to be interviewed by either by both panels, and certainly for the final here's our top two or our top three presented to the commission, that they would bear all costs and expense that the county would not pay. And then we asked a few questions that maybe we just needed a little clarity or a little more comfort level, and all questions were asked exactly the same of all eight. Those dealt with negotiation skills, ability to understand the rural nature of Story County and the job. So I'm pleased to say that right now we have seven applicants that are scheduled to be interviewed next Tuesday. It'll be a full day. Each panel will then take, Linda will walk them through a process, or I will for the internal one once we finalize it. We're waiting for a few things from the DA's office as far as releases for information and whatnot. Those are almost done. We anticipate taking one or more recommendations based on the panels to the Board of Commissioners for public interview on March 19th. So we're keeping it moving. Also, just one last note here. Kind of blown away, really, and pleased in a great way with the education and experience that the seven now have. And, again, we will be interviewing through the panel seven. Five have master's degrees. Two have PhDs. And just kind of for the record, because there was question talk about internal, external, knows Nevada, doesn't know Nevada, three of our qualified candidates or applicants that we will be interviewing are from out of state. So that is pretty much it, unless you have any questions.
Anything for Pat? No? Great. Thanks, Pat. Okay. Over to our planning department, Kathy Canfield.
Nothing today.
Okay, great. And from the clerk's office, sir?
No.
Nothing today? All right, that concludes our committee and staff reports. We'll move on now to item number six. These are board comments. We'll take no action on public comment. Start with the far end of the table here with Commissioner Carmona.
Nothing at this time.
Today? Mm-hmm. Vice Chairman Gilman?
I don't have anything either.
Yes, we're going to speed right through, then I have nothing else either. So we'll move on now to item number seven, discussion only. We'll take no action. It's going to be the switch presentation to Virginia City Silver Bricks First Robotics. Adam?
Thank you very much for the opportunity today to celebrate some of Story County's finest. Really an example and inspiration for the rest of the county here and the rest of the students here. And the program that we're talking about today is a program called First Robotics, which if you're not familiar with, they start all the way in elementary school and then through high school. These teams come together and they start with Legos, and then as they get to high school, we'll be working with more metal and computerized equipment, but building robotic devices that compete not just with other schools locally, but regionally, nationally, and globally. And we, as Switch, have sponsored FIRST Robotics programs across the country, and in particular here in Nevada, sponsoring the regional competition down at Thomas and Mack Center, which draws thousands of students from around the western U.S. to come and compete. And we were very fortunate that a few weeks ago, Commissioner Carmona brought to our attention that right here in Story County, we have our own team, the Virginia City Silver Bricks, whom I'd like to invite up here so they can introduce themselves, that have competed and won their way to the national competition in Houston, Texas, later this year. Come on up, guys. It was very serendipitous for us because this is what we look to continue to support. We did not realize Story County had such an incredible team sitting here. If the commission would allow me, I'd love to have the students each introduce themselves to you and talk a little bit about yourself. So start with you.
If your parents want to come up here, you can come up here in front if you want to take pictures. Be fine.
Please. Talk to you. Go to say your name, your grade.
Speak up.
Why don't you have them come over by the microphone?
Here you go.
Come on. And then we'll get it on tape.
Perfect.
My name's Cohen, and I'm in seventh grade.
My name's Carl, and I'm in eighth grade.
My name's Aiden, and I'm in 7th grade.
My name's Ayla, and I'm in 6th grade.
And my name's Xander, and I'm in 8th grade.
Do one of you want to talk about real quick what you're working on, what you're going to be competing at in Nationals in Houston?
So, in the Nationals, it's a very expensive trip, but we really want to take it and we really want to try our best. And we are going to we are taking this on with a positive attitude and trying to not be terrified out of our skins, because we've never been this far before, and we're really happy that we're going, and we're just going to try our best and do as good as we can.
I'm sure you're going to do great. And it's why we're so excited. The next Rob Royer, Elon Musk, or Sergey Brin is going to be one of these five. I mean that genuinely. That's the kind of talent that this is producing. And we went to your GoFundMe page, and we saw you guys still need about $9,000 to finish your trip. And so on behalf of Rob Royer, founder, chairman, and CEO, and huge FIRST Robotics enthusiast, we are happy to present you guys a check for $9,000 to pay for the rest of your trip. Yeah. And thank you guys, and thank you for making Story County and Virginia City and the team here at Switch so proud on what you're doing. We look forward to following your competition. Just ask to post lots of Facebook updates so we can watch you competing in Houston. I think that's it. I don't know if anything else Commissioner wants to say.
That's terrific. Thank you, Adam. Congratulations, you guys. This is terrific, and we wish you the best, and we'll all be cheering for you.
If I may, before everybody disappears, I again want to say thank you, Adam. Thank you. Thank you, Rob. Thank you, Elise. You're up more than I am, I think, at these meetings. This is huge. Working with the major companies, you know, they all want to be involved. Some of them sometimes forget that they're in Story County, you know, not necessarily the city of Reno. And money goes a long way there, too. But I want to thank Switch. I want to thank the robotics team working with Nicole through these, you know, through these years. It's just been a thrill for me. And I also want to thank our newest commissioner, who's not at all unabashed going and sticking his hand out to good friends like Adam and saying, hey, we need some money. How much? Well, let's start here. So, Commissioner Carmona, I want to thank you. You were a huge part of making this happen. And, again, congratulations to the Silver Bricks. Now, go take the nation, okay, kids? Yes.
Moving along, item number 8, discussion of possible action. Consideration of approval for auction and license agreement between Story County, the licensor, and New Singular Wireless DCS, LLC, the licensee, for the right to use a portion of property owned by Story County. Mr. Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Commissioner. Austin Osborne, for the record. Um, Thank you. First, I want to thank Keith Loomis. He was intricately involved in making sure this very complex licensing agreement was not only done correctly, but also to make sure that all of the things that can happen with the county, it's protected and all of that. So thank you, Keith. And at one point, Keith may want to weigh in, or I may defer to Keith on some specific portions in this contract he was very involved with. I'll give a first, just a quick summary. The special use permit for the cell tower in Virginia City, the wire tower, was approved at the last commission meeting. And at this point, this is just a license agreement to take about a 1,100-square-foot portion of land, about 35 by 35.
Mike, can I get you to go ahead and close the door going out to the hallway, please? Thank you.
All right. I'll continue. This is just a licensing agreement for the same company, AT&T, to use about a 1,200, I should say, square foot plot of land over by the Ice House here in Virginia City to install the cell tower. The terms of the agreement are 20 years at five-year increments, so there'll be a five-year period and then a renewal that's automatic for four additional times. The company can cancel that during those 5 years increments if it decides to, and there's some rules on that, 60-day notice, that sort of thing. The lease term will be $1,900 a month. That is the same amount that is under the existing tower that's out there for Verizon, and there is a 3% increase every year that occurs during the 20-year period. I did a little research with the Canyon GID. They have a similar agreement out there. Theirs is $2,500, but they have a 3% or 3.5% increase every year. I talked to Mitch out there, and he says that's the most critical thing you want in these agreements. Sometimes they'll go 5 years, and then there's an increase every 5 years. You don't want that. The percentage every year is what you want. This does contain that. I can answer any other questions you have on this. Pat has asked that we reach out to the applicant. He does say that it's fine if we can put Mucker Pride or something that the school district would like or something otherwise associated with Virginia City on the tower at their wish. I don't know. I looked at the DA's office whether that would be appropriate to integrate that kind of thing just in a motion or if it would be in this agreement or if it would be more associated with a special use permit, but that's already approved.
By AT&T?
Yeah.
I think you're fine if it is.
I don't see Mr. Jones here, but there was a representative from AT&T that's been at all these, and I don't think there's a representative here today, correct? It does not look like it, so I think we will be acting on their behalf.
I think if I recall correctly, that under the approval of the SUP that they had offered up, that we could go ahead and put some type of painting on there or something, you know, Muckers or, you know, BC or something of that sort.
That is correct.
All right. So, shouldn't be an issue.
It should not.
I have one question regarding the lease agreement. Say after the term of 5 years, if they opted that they to pull out, do they have to disassemble the equipment, or does it stay in place and become ownership of Story County? Or
you want to answer that? Yeah, go ahead.
It's not a lease. That's one of the things we had to change is lease. Of this would be maximum would be 5 years. So because they want to go beyond that, we made it a license rather than a lease. But the provisions in the lease or in the license provide that they will remove their property upon termination of the license.
Okay. Thank you, Keith. You guys have any questions for Austin?
No? I'd like to note that's also in the special use permit, a full reclamation of the site.
Okay. All right. Let's open up for public comment. Any public comment regarding this item? Any other questions or anybody else want to weigh in? No? I just personally, I'm happy to see this come to be. I know that a lot of people had to give up their AT&T subscribership and go to their competitors simply for the fact that you either couldn't get service or your calls would get dropped in this community. So I think this opens it up a lot for emergency services, and plus the tourism business and private use. So I look forward to the to these guys getting this tower erected. So
the representative, Carl Jones, has also been very accommodating throughout this process, very easy to get a hold of, and very flexible in pretty much anything we want.
Once we got him on board, it only took how many years to get him on board. So. Okay, so no public comment. I get a motion to approve this license.
In accordance with the recommendation by staff and other findings deemed appropriate by the Board of County Commissioners, I, Lance Gilman, move to approve option and license agreement between Story County licensor and New Singular Wireless PCS LLC licensee for the right to use a portion of property owned by Story County and located at 160 East Toll Road, APN 002023-11, Virginia City, Story County, Nevada, for the purpose of a commercial wireless communications facility.
All right. You have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
We moved a second to approve this license agreement. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Great. Moving along now to item number 9. Thank you, Austin. Discussion of possible action. Review and possible approval of auditor's recommendations pertaining to Story County audit report for the period ended June 30th, 2018. Mr. Gallagher.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Hugh Gallagher, Story County Comptroller. We go through this every year after the submission of the statements for our financial well-being as of June 30th, 2018. The following are those recommendations and notations that our auditor, DePietro and Thornton, have presented. I'll go over them briefly. The Virginia City Tourism Special Revenue Fund exceeded revenue projections by $9,300. However, expenses exceeded appropriations by $72,408. Now, we look at a couple of things. If the auditor only looks at appropriations on the expenditure side, not the revenue side, but I thought I'd put this in there, say they did make some additional revenue. However, the appropriations is what is being looked at. A letter from Tourism Director Dotson is attached for your review, and in his explanation, there were three categories. One was cost of goods sold for cemetery gin. We included it in the prior year, and for some reason they didn't include it as an inventory for their budget item this year. One was in regards to their website, which was an additional $20,000. And finally, special events, you take a look at every one of their special events, look at the revenue versus the expenditures, and tell you the truth, with the expansions that they've had in the last couple of years, I kind of give them a break on this. They have tried new things. They have always been very concerned about their budget items. We'll grab the rest of this, and we'll meet with the Tourism Commission usually on a quarterly basis or as is needed if their expenditures get out of hand or we think it's out of hand. But I think... In this particular case, I think Denny's remarks are pretty much justified. The Justice Court exceeded projections by $10,000, the revenue exceeded projections by $10,000. Our expenses exceeded appropriations by $4,100. This is mainly due to furniture and fixtures, as you will see in the front here, due to some additional people and some additional furniture and equipment. Inogen Medical. Revenue fund exceeded appropriations by $7,000. However, anticipated quarterly payments to the state of Nevada increased about $13,000 over appropriations. Genetic marker testing, special revenue fund exceeded revenue by $2,000. However, expense appropriations to Washoe County for DNA exceeded the budget by an amount of $3,200. Now, you'll see that in both indigent accident and genetic marker testing, this is going through outside resources, either Washoe County or the state of Nevada, which they pretty much bill us the way they want to bill us, and we don't have
any pre-notion of what they're going to charge us this next year. So we just pretty much have to, it's a guess at best, and sometimes this happens. Capital Project Special Note Fund exceeded expenditures by $2.9 million, and appropriations of $1.5 million. The appropriation amount is incorrect, okay, which makes this fund in compliance. Now, this has happened before. It's happened at least probably three times since I've been here that the auditor did not pick up the correct appropriations. However, this does not mandate or in any way change the financial statements for Story County because their opinion is about the financial statements, not about the budget. So they made an error on this one, but I have to bring it to not only your attention, but I also have to bring it to the Department of Taxation's deal. This happens. And again, their statement, their opinion, is based upon the financial stability of Story County, not upon the budget. The Water System Enterprise Fund expenses exceeded appropriations by $73,000, mainly due to increases in utilities, operating expenses and fuel, an excess amount of $18,000, and capital outlay increase of $28,000. It should be noted that salaries and benefits showed an overage, which was incorrect. Again, they picked up the wrong amount for the budget. The Virginia City Divide Sewer Special Revenue Fund had excess expenditures of over appropriations of $203,000. $53,000 overage was attributed to purchase of necessary equipment and system upgrades. $72,000 was a result of additional interest expense and $107,000 in additional depreciation as work in progress commitments were completed and booked in fixed assets. That was probably my fault. I didn't know when those, it's called construction in progress. And when those things are finally done, we move this into the fixed asset schedule and depreciation started. We didn't know when those projects were completed. So that's pretty much on myself on that one. Sheriff Department exceeded expenses of $18,310 over appropriations due to fuel costs, garnishments, body cameras, and special investigation costs. And with the amount of activity that's going out in our industrial park, you just don't know from year to year. It just gets there. And culture and recreation expenses exceeded appropriations by about $3,000, of which the majority of that was the purchase of playground equipment for Lockwood in the amount of $10,000. Additionally, the auditor has findings that he is recommending for future requirements. Investments, one is our cash and investments, were in the past recorded on a cash basis and for the annual report adjusted to fair market value. In the future, all internal and external statements will be adjusted to fair market value in compliance with GASB 72. This is in relation to our securities. So even though we're going to keep those to its maturity, whatever the market value of that is less than what the cash would be. And that's just, so we're going to start doing that on all of our statements now to include all of our quarterlies. This county has always asked for the outside auditor to give it assistance with the audit report because of staff constraints. The auditor has explained the circumstances is not unusual in an organization of this size due to time constraint and management and costs associated with compliance of standards. Understanding this, this is the second audit examination of the P2 and Thornton, and we are prepared to provide the necessary information required. There are three. We have two staff members, or I have two staff members, with about
35 funds and probably 23 departments in one fund. It's very tough. And so there are some things that we ask or that he looks at and does some work for us, but in no way affects the audit or the opinion. The next one is this has to do with the fire department. During the performance of our procedures, it is noted that the county has not reviewed the collectibility of ambulance receivables. The comptroller's department will audit the ambulance receivables on a monthly basis for the 474 fire department, and that is being done as we speak. It is something that is software related because it is a very old and antiquated system, but fire department personnel are going to get an upgrade or a very new one, I think in March or April, which will alleviate this problem. But going forward, we'll make sure that those receivables are sitting there in those, and as well as the collectibility. Mr. Chairman.
All right. Commissioner, have any questions for you? Any recommendations for the auditor? So, think about you. Anybody have any public comment regarding this report? No? Okay. Thank you, Mr. Gallagher.
Mr. Chairman.
This time we're going to recess the Story County Board of Commissioners and convene as the Story County Liquor Board. Next up on our agenda is item 11, discussion of possible action. Approval of the first reading for on-sale, off-sale, and cabaret Union Brewery, Virginia City, LLC. The applicant is Lisa Matthey. Place of business is 63. We'll make a correction here. It's North C Street, not South C Street, Virginia City, Nevada, 89440. Sheriff?
This is our obligatory first reading. We're still working on the background investigation. Nothing has come up as of yet that would be a prohibitor. Biggest thing we're waiting on right now is permitting. If you've been by there, they're doing a lot of construction. You know, there had been a number of issues with that building. It had been red tagged by the building department. They've been working heavily on rectifying all of that stuff, and I believe that they have only had one inspection to date. So this is just to get the ball rolling, get the process started, and before they get back on the agenda for finalization, we'll have all the inspections and make sure that there's nothing hiding in the weeds.
Yeah, I've seen there's been a lot of work going on down there, so that's good. And I think that the applicant is going to be the leasee of this property. Is that correct? Because
Yeah, this, the applicant's name on here is the, I don't know if they're a partnership or a leasee, because that's not the owner of the property.
Right.
But we have been talking with both the owner and with Lisa.
Okay. Very good. Is there any public comment regarding this application?
Mr. Chairman, perhaps you and Commissioner Gilman want to disclose?
Yeah. Okay. I was going to ask the commissioners first if they had any questions for the sheriff.
No, sir.
No? Okay. For complete disclosure, I too have a liquor license on C Street in proximity to the establishment that we're hearing today for licensing. And voting on this applicant one way or the other in no way would affect them any differently than any other applicant that goes before this board.
I'll make the same disclosure as I hold a liquor license on C Street as well.
All right. So that's it. If we can get a motion to approve the first reading.
I motion to approve the first reading for on sale, off sale, and Cabaret Union Brewery, Virginia City, LLC. Applicant Lisa Mahaney. Place of business, 63 North C Street, Virginia City, Nevada, 89440.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Moved and second to approve the first reading for the Union Brewery. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. All right. At this time, we're going to recess as the Story County Liquor Board and reconvene to the Story County Board of Commissioners. Next up will be item 13, discussion of possible action. Consideration of possible acceptance of the deed of dedication from Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, LLC, a southern portion of existing Amsterdam Court at the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, McCarran, Story County, Nevada.
Mr. Chairman, in abundance of caution, as much as I hold a pecuniary interest in the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, I'm going to recuse from discussion or voting on this item.
Very good. Thank you, Commissioner Gilman. All right, Mr. Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Austin Osborne for the record. There's three actions that are going to happen starting with this item, and then the following two dealing with a portion of roadway called Amsterdam out of the near the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, and this portion in the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center near Waltham and the Tracy Power Plant. This is a cul-de-sac. As you look in your exhibit here, there is an arm of the cul-de-sac that extends more to the south of another piece of road. That is what we're talking about today. It's about 44,000 square feet, give or take an acre. It is a piece of property that will be dedicated to Story County by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center to become a road. This road does not meet county standards. It's a good road, but it doesn't meet all of our county standards. And because of that, we're asking that this not be subject to the tri-payback under the development agreement. And also we acknowledge that this road goes into a geographic bowl in which the Nanaimo power plant is now located. It's a defunct power plant. That power plant may disappear one day and be sold off or whatever. But no, the point is this road really is not going to serve any long-term uses other than maybe being a driveway to one or two buildings in that area. So being built to the standard it is, we feel is okay for that purpose. This is for $10, I'm happy to answer any other questions that you have.
Mr. Carbona, do you have any questions?
Not at this time.
We open up for public comment. Hearing none, I guess the only question I would have on this, Austin, is what is the benefit to Story County for accepting dedication of this road?
Well, accepting dedication would be what the development agreement is for when the road is built. Of course, it's not built to our standards, that it would be subject to dedication. As far as benefit, this property here now, despite it being built with the Nanaimo power plant right now, we believe in the future it could be housing other types of uses that this would provide access to. And then if you look in the next items, I'll be careful I don't talk too much about those yet, but there's some utility implications as well.
Good enough. All right. I'll ask once again if there's any public comment. Okay. Hearing none, I'll go ahead and get a motion to accept this deed of dedication.
And Mr. Chairman, when you do make that motion, may I ask that you would add that the parties recognize this is not subject to the tri-payback in the development agreement.
Okay. One second. Did you get all that, Jay?
I'm working on it.
Okay.
Okay. In accordance with the recommendation by staff, I, Jay Carmona, make a motion to approve the acceptance of deed of dedication from Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, LLC, a southern portion of the existing Amsterdam Court at the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, McCarran, Story County, Nevada, as described in the deed of dedication and Exhibit A of this report. The parties recognize this is not subject to the TRI payback. That work?
Correct.
Great. I'll second your motion. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. I will welcome Commissioner Gilman back to the board. And we'll move on now to item number 14, which is discussion of possible action. Consideration and possible acceptance of the grant, bargain, and deed, and sale deed, that being a northern portion of the existing Amsterdam Court from Sierra Pacific Power Company, doing business as NV Energy to Story County. Mr. Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Austin Osborne for the record. This is the connector from Waltham Lee to what you just accepted through dedication. It's a similar type of roadway. It is not built to Story County standards. Therefore, we ask and the parties agree that it's not subject, well, not only is it subject to payback, but this is technically outside the Tahoe Reno Industrial Park, even though it's in the same area.
All right.
And then this is about 1.75 acres of land. I just explained everything in the last item as far as what it does and where it goes.
Correct. Right. Commissioners, have any questions for Austin regarding this?
None.
Open up for public comment on this item. Hearing none, we get a motion to approve.
In accordance with the recommendation by staff, I will entertain a motion to approve acceptance of the grant bargain and sale deed, a northern portion of existing Amsterdam Court, from Sierra Pacific Power Company, doing business as Nevada Energy, to Story County, a partial described in Exhibit A to grant bargain and sale deed of this report.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Moving to second it to accept this grant bargain and sale deed. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 15, which is discussion of possible action, consideration of possible conveyance of easement from Story County, the grantor, to Sierra Pacific Power Company, doing business as ND Energy, the grantee, conveying a perpetual right and easement to construct, operate, add to, modify, maintain, and remove above ground and or below ground communications, facilities, and electric line systems upon, over, under, or through property described in Exhibit A, Exhibit B of this report in McCarran, Story County, Nevada. Mr. Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Austin Osborne for the record. The road that you just accepted from Sierra Pacific Power, now Sierra Pacific Power would like to put an easement on that portion of road for everything described. In other words, your standard utilities within a roadway and its boundary shoulders.
Very good. Commissioners, have any questions for Austin regarding this item?
No question.
We'll open up for public comment. Hearing none, we get a motion to approve.
In accordance with the recommendation by staff, I will entertain a motion to approve acceptance of grant of easement from Story County grantor to Sierra Pacific Power Company, doing business as Nevada Energy grantee, a perpetual right and easement to construct, operate, add to, modify, maintain, and remove above ground and or below ground communication facilities and electric line systems upon, over, under, and through property described in Exhibit A of this report.
All right. I have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Then moving a second to accept this. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Very good. Moving along now to item number 16. Discussion of possible action. This is a special use permit, 2019-001. Request to operate a home enterprise. The home enterprise will consist of beekeeping with a maximum of 20 hives, in parentheses, a greenhouse to grow, produce, and an aqua farm structure for raising fish. No retail sales of product will occur at this site. The property is approximately 2.7 acres in size and is located at 144 Elizabeth Lane, Mark Twain, Story County, Nevada. Since there's parcel number 003-314-23. Ms. Canfield.
Good morning. Kathy Canfield for the record. This is a special use permit for a home enterprise in the Mark Twain area. The property is zoned estates, and it has a single-family residence existing on it. The home enterprise includes beekeeping and the growing of produce on-site. And the special use permit is required because of the potential for the home enterprise to impact the surrounding properties. So the applicant has requested 20 hives be allowed on the property. Story County doesn't have any regulations regarding bees or the number of bees. So in doing the research for this, NRS has some language about beekeeping, but it mostly is about the health and diseases of bees and then also how to transport bees. They don't really have anything about how many bees are appropriate for a property or how many hives. I also spoke to the State Department of Agriculture, the state entomologist, to just get some general information about beekeeping. He stated that there's typically between 20,000 and 40,000 bees per hive. They have a minimum 2-mile foraging radius, and they need an on-site water source. And so when asking, you know, when I'm trying to juggle how many is appropriate for the property, he said there's really too many different variables to come up with a real black and white answer for, you know, one hive per 10,000 square feet or whatever. He couldn't come up with anything because it's just too many different situations that could be there. I did speak to Washoe County and the City of Reno nuisance officers to see, because we know that there's beekeeping down there. They don't have any regulations per se about how many, but they said the biggest complaints that they get when they do get them about bees is that people don't have a water source. And when the bees don't have an on-site water source, they're looking for pools and fountains and neighboring properties that might have one. So the person that I talked to, they had one in recent memory, and then as soon as those people had put in a water source, it really stopped impacting the neighbors. So I also looked into Carson City, and the City of Henderson do have ordinances regarding bees, and those were attached in the back of your application packet for you to look at. And since Story County doesn't have any experience with the beekeeping and our permitting process, I was looking to those that do have, the Carson City and the City of Henderson, to be something that's similar to what they approve. So staff is recommending at this time that they be allowed to have 10 hives, and that they would come back. They wouldn't be able to ask for additional hives until we had a 2-year window to see how this operation goes. The Planning Commission was okay with that, but then they also wanted to have an annual review. So we looked at, after the discussion at the Planning Commission, they added a condition to have an annual review to see, after 1 year of having those hives, what kind of impacts that had to the neighborhood. So at the Planning Commission, we did have some neighbors. We had a lengthy discussion on beekeeping in general, the properties, and about bees themselves. The Planning Commission ended up going with staff's recommendation of 10, but they added 3 additional conditions that start on page 14 of your staff report. They had to do with not having Africanized bees, which are really aggressive bees. They agreed to, and then doing an annual review of the property. So next year, about this time, the Planning Commission would look at what impacts the neighborhood had. And then the third one was just that the owners had to live at the property. So I know the owners are here today, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Do you guys have any questions for Kathy yet?
Mm-hmm.
No. Uh-oh. I'd like to hear from the applicant.
Oh, I should point out, you received this morning a letter that was just passed out to you in support of the project.
Okay.
So.
Great. Good morning. Come on up to the podium. If you'll go ahead and identify yourself for the record so that we can get it on tape this morning.
Aaron Grimes.
Stacy Grimes.
Okay. Good morning. Thank you for appearing today. The only questions I think I would have to ask is, it looks like it's water intensive. Do you have adequate supply of water to go ahead and keep these bees healthy? It looks like you're going to have between 200,000 and 400,000 bees. If the numbers are correct, between 20,000 and 40,000 bees per hive times 10. So it looks like you're going to have a lot of bees to take care of.
Yeah.
He normally puts the feeders out there, so he's got a water source at each and every colony. And then we discussed at the Planning Commission his great idea.
Well, a lot of the time, because bees don't swim, they'll drown in people's horse troughs and ponds and stuff. So one way we're going to alleviate that is to have a little kiddie pool and then like a swamp cooler pump to pump the water up through a little pile of rocks, so the water will come down over the rocks so they'll be able to drink off the wet rocks and not drown. Then the bees will be more likely to go to that water source than the water troughs and ponds where they drown, you know. So that was one thing we're looking at doing, and keeping maybe a couple of the kiddie pool, little waterfalls there for them, along with their water feeders on each colony all the time. So,
Do we know how much bees drink?
They're thirsty in the summertime.
In the summertime, yeah, they go through a lot. I'll feed the waters every day, so.
Are you, you're on a well on Elizabeth?
Yes.
Okay. You have adequate supply? Is that sure you're going to also raise fish on your property?
Yeah, hopefully I hope to have like a hoop house type deal, greenhouse. And inside there, I was looking at having a 500-gallon water tank and then a couple 100-gallon water tanks to raise fish in, hopefully to sell the fish to some of the markets.
And with that, we're looking at getting a cistern. That's his big thing, is getting the cistern off the, collecting the rainwater off the roof.
And then the fish aqua farm is all a circulated system, so really no water leaves there except through evaporation and plant growth. So we'll be adding very minimal water out of the well, hopefully.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but aren't they water intensive as well? It takes a lot of water to raise fish.
Yes, but the water system will just circulate throughout. So there might be 1,000 gallons in the whole system overall.
You have to keep adding fresh water to it, right? Because there's a lifespan on water for fish.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
Yeah, and through evaporation through the plants, because the same water will go through all the vegetables and fertilize them and everything. So there'll be a natural evaporation through growth and evaporation and the plants sucking it up. So hopefully we'll add minimal from the well and then water collected from the rain and we'll keep the water minimum, the water usage to the minimum out of the well.
We are not trying to start a huge corporation. It's just him and I.
Yeah,
it's
sure.
Just him and I.
So. No, I like bees.
Yeah, they're interesting little creatures, let me tell you. Learned a lot about them.
Do you guys have any questions for the applicants?
Is the well you're using an agriculturally permitted well, or is it a domestic well for a home?
As far as I know, it's a domestic. This is the first well I've ever owned, so we had the gentleman come out, hook it all up, and I'm assuming it's domestic.
I'm not absolutely certain on the state level.
Mm-hmm.
When you're utilizing domestic well use for commercial purposes, that there might be an issue with the state over water use, domestic versus commercial. I don't have the answer to that, but I pose it as a question.
Yeah. Sounds like they haven't gotten that far yet either.
I don't think
they're going to do anything on a commercial basis.
Yes, agreed.
Sure.
Yeah, okay. It'll be a closed loop system though, so the water won't be like we're spraying it out in the fields. It'll all be closed loop, so the water will go down through the planters and back into the sump tanks, then pump back into the fish tanks, and it all keeps circulating. So hopefully we use very, very minimal amount of water.
Okay. Any other questions? Any questions?
I just want to applaud you guys for doing what you're doing.
Bees
are an integral part of our society, whether people want to admit it or not. But I applaud what you guys are doing. Familiar with aquaponics. Best of luck to you.
Thank you.
Again.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. and Mrs. Grimes.
Thank you.
So, Kathy, to get started, it's been recommended by your board that there be an annual inspection of the facility. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So it's a good way to get started, I think.
Yes. And then I should point out on page 13, condition I-2, states that documentation from the State of Nevada Division of Water Resources demonstrating adequate water rights exist for all uses on the property shall be provided prior to any installation of the proposed aqua farm facility.
Okay.
So it is something that will make sure that they've got the water before they start
right.
using it.
So unless there's any objections, I'll ask Kathy to read the findings of fact for motion for approval.
Okay. So,
yes.
There might be comments.
You have to. Okay.
You got a comment, sir.
I'm sorry, sir. Come on up. Come on up to the podium and identify yourself for the record, please.
My name is Steve Massicott. I live on Wagon Wheel Way in visual eyesight of the property for the people. And again, I commend them. I welcome them to Story County, but I have extreme concerns over what they're trying to do. I've done a little bit of research since the Planning Commission meeting, and I'm very surprised that they voted to move forward without some more research. of the seven people on the board, only one of them lives in Mark Twain area. We're about to take a residential area in the county and put three businesses on it. Not one, not two, but three businesses. Either one of them as a standalone should be considered as impacting our nice little residential community down there. As far as the bees goes, first and foremost is they ask for 20 hives and the board say, well, let's go to 10. And they pulled 10 out of the sky because none of them are bee experts. None of them have contacted bee people. None of them have done the research to justify a move from 20 to 10. Even 10 is way too much for a residential area. I called a couple of bee people in the United States, one of them right up in Reno that does a lot of beekeeping. It's actually a bee community for vets, bees for vets. It's for PSDs and helping them cope with everything. And he was stunned that there was going to be more than two hives on a residential property, regardless of the size. And they say a 2-mile radius for bees. Every bee, I went to like five different bee websites. Everything is 2 to 4, 2 to 7 miles. Well, 7 miles, even 4 miles from where they want to put these 10 hives, there's no food source for them. They need a huge alfalfa field. They need some sort of very large agriculture to feed a hive, two hives, let alone 10 hives. And 20 to 40 is a conservative number. Most of the sites say 30 to 60,000 bees. Well, that jumps the number of bees in the neighborhood. And I asked the planning commissioner, I said, look, has any one of you contacted the school district? How many children in Mark Twain are allergic to bees? You're going to have 500,000 bees every morning and every night flying out looking for food, and the buses come to pick the kids up, and the buses come home to drop the kids off. And the bees are going to be all over that neighborhood looking for food, and there is no food. There's not enough food within a 2-mile radius of that location to feed 10 hives of bees, not even close in any way you look at it. They're not going to be able to sustain themselves. So the bees are probably going to die, but in the meantime, the children are open to, you know, bee attacks and stings. There's a school right down the road within the 2-mile radius of that. There's 500,000 bees going to be floating around the kids out there for recess. It's too much of a strain on the beehives in the community to put these bees right in the middle of, you know, our wonderful little Mark Twain area. And I just don't think the one planning commissioner that lives in the valley says, look, we need to do more research on this. And she voted no against the resolution. Not totally no, but hey, let's do some more research. Well, I've only got like 45 minutes into this research, and I've already found four or five things that are directly against what was put forth at the commission. There's not enough information on the bees and the food source and the districting and everything to go along with what we're about to vote yes on. Well, let's put 10 in and try it. I don't like being a guinea pig in an area for bee raising. Even though, yes, I agree, we do need it, absolutely. I would say the county should put a bee park up in the middle of the hills where there's nobody there. You know, he says they're going to feed off of the wildlife in the desert. The two people that I talked to says, no, they don't feed off of sagebrush and cheatgrass and all this other junk out there. There's no food source for them. So they're going to be aggressive. They're not going to be able to find their food. You know, water is a joke because there's water everywhere. That's not the reason to worry about these beehives. Water has nothing to do with it. It's food source and too many quantities for the property. And if we're going to allow this gentleman to put his 10 hives in a residential area in Story County, now can I apply to the county and let's put 10 hives 2 blocks away from here? That's a commercial property. I mean, a residential property. Can I put 10 hives up there? Can I put 10 hives on any residential property anywhere in the county? Is that what we're agreeing to do here? I don't see why not. If it's good for him, it should be good for anybody else in the county to put 10 hives in.
Well, can I ask you something? Did you speak at the planning commission meeting?
Yes, I did.
Did you? Okay.
And I only did like 45 minutes on the internet, and I found all this other information. Mm-hmm. I'm not against bees. I love bees. But we can't put 10 hives in the middle of a residential area full of children with multiple bus stops to pick them up every day and every night to drop them off without any research. Does the school have the bee sting medicine on site if somebody gets stung and they're allergic to it. What about the residents that are allergic to it?
Would they have that whether there was a bee colony or not?
Do they have it? I just said.
I don't know either.
They don't know the answer, but they voted yes.
Sir, we don't regulate the school district, okay? Do they carry bee sting, you know, antidote, whether there's a beehive in the neighborhood or not? I mean, that's yeah.
There may be beehives, maybe one on a residential site, because there's no food out there for them. So
anyway, thank you for your
there's time. Some information. And, again, the second point, three businesses in a residential area on one property. I don't think that's what, you know,
okay.
Story County is for.
Thank you for your comments. We appreciate it. So, I didn't, Mr. Thompson, come on ahead.
Mr. Chairman, County Commissioners, Mr. County Manager, and Mr. Deputy DA Chris Thompson, a Story County resident and Planning Commission member. And again, am I clear to discuss the Planning Commission meeting?
Yeah, I think you're free to give your view of it. I think the official record is going to be the minutes.
It is, yes, sir. Okay. So the Planning Commission considered over a lengthy period of time the concerns about the public safety. And a couple of things I think that came out at the meeting, and either Kathy or Austin can correct me, that were meaningful to us is, number one, not all the hives are going to be full of bees to the maximum number simultaneously. Some of the hives, typically, as we understand it, were not fully occupied. Also, the hives are stacked, as was described at the meeting, and typically not all those stacks are full. So when you say, you know, X amount of bees per hive, you're talking, in reality, far less than those maximum numbers. The other thing that stuck out to us is, as they would describe, not all the bees go out foraging. In other words, they don't all swarm out in the morning like ducks or geese to nearby, you know, flower beds or anything to pollinate and to, you know, swarm on someone's house. Only a percentage, a smaller percentage of the bees actually go out foraging. So that was meaningful to us. And also, where they forage, you know, they're not going to be foraging on roofs and walls and buildings and all, at least as was described to us. So that was significant to us. Also, the fact that the planning staff and Kathy did quite a bit of due diligence on looking into this, calling the state, calling other jurisdictions, was meaningful to us. And so on balance, the environmental value of having bees out there, it's actually good for the environment, as was described to us. That was, at least for me, and I believe most of the Planning Commission, one of whom had some significant experience with hives up in the highlands and in her life, I think was significant to us. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Thompson. So, Kathy, is the staff's recommendation to approve this as it was presented?
Yes, with 10 hives. And the way we came up with that number was that was consistent with the Carson City ordinance that they have adopted for this size property.
Okay, and your conversation with the people in Carson City, did they have any issues as the gentleman who just spoke a minute ago?
Not that they brought up to me in our conversations, no.
All right. Just raise any concerns with the commissioners?
On the same topic, my daughter's allergic to nuts and peanuts. If kids are allergic to bees, typically parents will supply their child with an EpiPen. So a lot of the parents do take proactive measures. So to say that, you know, children are in danger, I think is a bit overboard.
Okay.
You know? And it's not necessarily up to the school to have medication for that.
All right. I'm going to ask once again if there's any other public comment. If not, so, I can see your concerns, sir, in that, but I think that it's going to be under review, and I think that this is an SUP, so if there's any issues, it could always be brought back to this board to have the special use permit revoked. So, at that, With that being said, I think I'm going to ask you to go ahead and read the findings of fact for motion for approval. And if we find in the future that we've got issues, we can go back and review the process.
So the findings for what staff and the Planning Commission recommended?
Yes.
This approval is for Special Use Permit 2019-001 to operate a home enterprise. The home enterprise will consist of beekeeping with a maximum of 10 hives, a greenhouse to grow produce, and an aquafarm structure for raising fish. No retail sales of product will occur at the site. The property is approximately 2.7 acres in size and is located at 144 Elizabeth Lane, Mark Twain, Story County, Nevada, Assessor's Parcel Number APN 003-31423. The proposed project complies with the general purpose, goals, objectives, and standards of the county master plan. This title and any other plan, program, map, or ordinance adopted or under consideration pursuant to official notice by the county. The proposal location, size, height, operations, and other significant features will be compatible with and will not cause substantial negative impact on adjacent land uses or will perform a function or provide a service that is essential to the surrounding land uses, community, and neighborhood. The proposed project will result in no substantial or undue adverse effect on the adjacent property, the character of the neighborhood, traffic conditions, parking, public improvements, public sites or right-of-way, or other matters affecting the public health, safety, and general welfare, either as they now exist or as they may in the future be developed as a result of the implementation of the provisions and policies of the county master plan. This title and any other plans, program, map, or ordinance adopted or under consideration pursuant to an official notice by the county or other governmental agency having jurisdiction to guide growth and development. The proposed use in the proposed area will be adequately served by and will impose no undue burden on any of the improvements, facilities, utilities, or services provided by the county or other governmental agency having jurisdiction in the county. The special use permit conforms to the 2016 Story County Master Plan for the Mark Twain planning area in which the subject property is located. A discussion supporting this finding is provided in Section 2.C of the staff report, and the contents thereof are cited in the approval of this special use permit. The conditions under the special use permit do not conflict with the minimum requirements in Story County Code Section 17.03.150, Special Use Permit, and Section 17.40E, Estate Zone.
Thank you, Kathy. All right. So, here are the findings of fact. The motion for approval, if we can get a motion to approve this item.
In accordance with the recommendations by the Planning Commission and staff, the findings of fact under Section 3.A of this report and other findings deemed appropriate by the Board of County Commissioners, and in compliance with the condition of approval, I, Lance Gilman, move to approve Special Use Permit 2019-001 to allow for operation of a home enterprise. The home enterprise will consist of beekeeping with a maximum of 10 hives, a greenhouse to grow, produce, and an aquifer or on an aquafarm structure for raising fish. No retail sales of product will occur at the site. The property is approximately 2.70 acres in size and is located at 144 Elizabeth Lane, Mark Twain, Story County, Nevada, Assessor Parcel Number APN 003-314-23.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
A motion and a second on Special Use Permit 2019-001. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Good luck.
Thank you.
The Grimes.
Thank you.
Endeavor. This time we're going to recess as the Story County Board of County Commissioners and convene as the Story County Fire Protection District Board. Next on our agenda is item number 19, discussion of possible action.
I think you missed
a step. Did I? Yeah, I did. Thank you. All right. I skipped over 17. My apologies. Next up is a consideration of possible approval of the Story County Multidisciplinary Memorandum of Understanding to Strengthen Community Support Services for Vulnerable Populations in Story County.
Mr.
Mr. Gilbert.
And if I may, before Stacy starts, I want the record to be clear that we are still meeting as the Story County Board of Commissioners. We have not recessed.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Ms. Gilbert.
Stacy Gilbert, for the record. A little background. Several county departments and outside agencies came together in late 2017 with a shared goal of stabilizing individuals experiencing chronic crisis by addressing their basic needs and behavioral health concerns and increasing access to care. The Story County Multidisciplinary Team, also known as an MDT, consists of representatives from Story County, the Story County Senior Center, Fire Department, Sheriff's Office, Community Chest, and Nevada Health Centers. This is a team of community leaders and decision makers who have committed to strengthen community supports and services for vulnerable populations in Story County. The MOU sets forth the basic terms under which the agencies listed herein agree to participate in meeting the goals of Story County MDT. The team will focus on development and sustainability within the community, as well as development and implementation of a coordinated community response to those living with behavioral health issues, including mental health and substance use disorders, as well as our large vulnerable senior population. In forming this team, we joined many other counties in our region and around the state who have formed similar teams to address these important issues. We are hopeful that you will support this concept by approving the MOU. We have a couple of folks joining us today from the team who would like to share some of the good things that we have already been able to accomplish. So Taylor Tremaine with Community Chest is one of the individuals who has helped out tremendously.
Hi, Taylor Tremaine from Community Chest for the record. I've been acting as a member of Community Chest primarily right now in the Lockwood area, providing services to seniors through the Senior Center. I've been in coordination with the Sheriff's Office down in Lockwood as well for referrals, as well as the Senior Centers for referrals. I also go every Wednesday when the food pantry is there so that I can get in contact with seniors. My goal is to provide resources for seniors, whether through my agency and myself, or finding other resources at little to no cost for seniors, because a lot of them are on fixed incomes out there and need services, but are not always able to afford them through certain places. I've been working with families as well, trying to integrate the community. I come up here in Virginia City. I also work and visit the Senior Center up here, and I'm a drug and alcohol counselor through Community Chest, so I can try to provide as many services or resource coordination as possible to those in need. I've been doing this since August, working really closely with Stacy and Sherry, trying to provide as many services as possible to the population.
Great. So it's my understanding this is the first time we've had this MOU come before us. Is that right? This is brand new.
Yes.
Bringing all the troops together.
Sorry, Sherry Nevin, for the record. I'm a little bit under the weather, so that's why I had Stacy present. But yes, the first time.
That's great. It's a terrific idea. You know?
Yeah, we actually are joining. Douglas County has a very similar model in place. Lyon County, Carson City, City of Reno, and Mineral County is one. Jessica Flood, who actually is not able to be here today, she works for the state and is kind of helping to convene some of these groups throughout the state. So she's been a huge help to us to kind of get this forward. And we've had tremendous support from Stacy at the Senior Center, Community Chest, Fire Department, and the Sheriff's Office. So we meet once a month, and this has taken us a while to pull this agreement together, working with Keith to make sure that we cover everything. But I think we're finally there to be able to move this forward.
Sure. Okay, where do we go from here? Does anybody have any public comment regarding this today? Ms. Bart.
Nicole Bart, Story County resident. Well, I have to say today is a feel-good meeting, an absolute feel-good meeting. You got your bees. You got your Legos. No, and this in particular, I'm just delighted to see I remember when we first hired Stacy, this was one of the things that, you know, coming into the job at the senior center that she wanted to try to accomplish, and I knew that there were willing partners out there because our groups are so just so community-focused and based. And I just wanted to come up and say this is phenomenal, and the community is lucky to have you to do this. And knowing who the players are, this is just going to be another raging, raging success. So hopefully the MOU gets signed and it goes forward. And Sherry, I know that this has been under your guidance for a long time, so thank you.
Thank you. Any additional public comment? Commissioners, have any questions or comments? None? We get a motion to approve this memorandum of understanding.
Hi, Lance Gilman. Move to approve Story County Multidisciplinary Team Memorandum of Understanding.
I have a motion. Do I have a second? If it's MOU?
I'll second it.
Move to second to approve. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. All right. Good luck for our new endeavor, ladies.
Thank you.
Very good. Well, thanks for stepping up to the plate and putting this together.
I think you might as well just stay right there.
Yeah, next item is let us know how you want us to proceed. It's the same thing, just approving as the fire district.
So you can say it's the one.
Yeah.
Fire district. Same presentation. Yeah.
Okay. This time we're going to recess as the Story County Board, convene as the Story County Fire Protection District Board. And next up is item 19, consideration of possible action, possible approval of Story County Multidisciplinary Memorandum of Understanding. So, this is round two.
Read it.
And I would suggest, in the interest of time, I don't think you really need to re-present. I suggest, since the fire district's involved, we've got to have approval
from that board as well. Yeah. So we'll go ahead and we'll open it up for any public comment once again. Any additional comments or questions from board members?
No.
Hearing none, if we can go ahead and get a motion to approve this as well.
I, Lance Gilman, move to approve the Story County Multidisciplinary Team Memorandum of Understanding.
Have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
No, it's been moved and seconded to approve this item. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously.
That's good.
Number 20, at this time we're going to recess as the Story County Fire Protection District Board and reconvene as the Story County Board of County Commissioners. Bringing our next item up is item 21. This is discussion of possible action, approval of business license, second readings. Mr. Witt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Community Development recommends approval of all items A through I as they appear on your agenda and in your packet.
Is there any public comment regarding these second readings? Hearing none, if I can get a motion to approve.
I'll move to approve the second reading.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Move to second to approve business license second readings. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 22. We're open for public comment. Any public comment today? The public comment, I think Lady Mucker's playing regional tournaments Thursday, 3 o'clock at Wooster. Does that sound right? So anybody who can attend to watch the Lady Muckers, please do so. At this time, we're going to go ahead and adjourn this regular meeting.